Sitting on the back porch with my gun hound dogs. The only thing more refreshing than the crisp flavor of my Natty Light is listening to the hilarious antics of the Roundabout podcast. That Zach Bowen breaks me up, I swear. Go to theroundaboutshow.com and take a quick survey on the right-hand side of the page. Now, if you excuse me, I've got to go shoot some pistols in there.
Waiting for Maverick to buzz the tower in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
On four fresh tires from Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
From Long Beach, California, home of Cinnabon, the found dog, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Craig Cole.
I'm Eric Tritko.
And recovering from the Black Plague, I'm producer Ben Sanders. This is Roundabout.
Hello, and welcome to Roundabout, episode 24, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like crash test dummies, we hurl ourselves at the internet in search of data, extra listeners, and a cohesive, zen-like theme. Just before impact, we find all kinds of off-color news topics to talk about, and more than our share of stories about catheters, guns, and jerky. And just like a rear-ended Ford Pinto, the conversation crashes and burns as we carry on about what's hot on Craigslist and Jeff's wedding. In the end, no one gets away unharmed. Just like a Chinese SUV, our podcast is lucky to get a one-star rating. So here we are, guys. Episode number 24. We've survived to this point. So congratulations, everyone. And I'm happy to report that we have a full complement of crew today. All hands are on deck. Even Ben, he made it, being sick. How's the dengue fever, Ben?
So cold.
Oh.
So cold.
Well, you had a double whammy there, didn't you? Dengue fever and some sort of fungal urethra infection?
You gotta pay extra for that, you know.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle.
I know. I'm sorry about the toenails, too.
And the scratch marks?
That's on me.
I think you've killed Ben.
I can't laugh.
Asphyxiating on a cough drop.
This needs to be the least funny podcast we do, because if I laugh, I cough.
It's funnier when it's real, so. Yeah.
There is a mute button, you know.
He's not fast enough to do that. But anyway, we've got everyone here today. Michelle from Long Beach, thank you for joining us.
You're ever so welcome.
Very pissed off right now.
No, I'm not. I'm enthusiastic. As always, go team.
Woo! Team! Can I get a high five, Eric? High five. Ben, can I get an air high five?
Hello.
All right, good job. And Jeff? What's up, man?
High five.
High five through the interwebs. A double high five.
I just broke my monitor.
Well, you're using a 1987 Dell Dementia laptop or something.
Yeah. It was a chest bump.
Oh. Well, don't do that. I'm very fragile.
Yes, you are. And it's good to be
emotionally
back.
And physically.
I was going to say mentally.
And, of course, Zach Bowman.
Yes, sir.
We can't forget about you down in Knoxville.
That's right.
The volunteer state. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for volunteering for Roundabout.
Glad to be here.
I wish we could offer you hazard pay.
That would be awesome.
Unfortunately, we can't. And last but not least, joining me in the studio live right now as we speak, all the way from Dearborn, Michigan, it's Mr. Eric Tritko. Eric, how are you?
Driving on a legal license once again.
What?
Never mind.
Do you care to elaborate?
No.
As opposed to the illegal license that he procured in Mexico.
Exactly.
I'm not even going to ask. That's a whole other show
right
there.
It's based off my third alternate Social Security number.
Oh, so you've been dumpster diving for, like, identities or
something like that, yes.
All right, well, fair enough.
I hope the press fleet people aren't listening.
Nobody's listening.
No, they're actually... honestly.
Well, hey, we are up to a baker's dozen live viewers right now. Hey, so.
On a serious note, there was the Secretary of State felt the need to send me a note saying my license had been suspended for something that didn't occur. So it took me about 2 weeks to yet. Well, trust me, the last three
months
have been. Yeah, well.
God bless the government.
Welcome to my life.
Everything is ridiculous.
So anyways, it took me 2 weeks to get it sorted out, and it finally got sorted today. So.
Chris Bacchus in the chat says, you're right, I'm not listening. I'm making dinner.
Of course he is, Mr. Gourmet.
Gourmet?
Yes, he's the Gourmet.
Michelle, I'm the only one that can pronounce names wrong here, okay?
Okay.
Miss Naranjaho.
Okay.
Keep it up, kerosene.
Just fan in the flames, right? Fan in the flames.
Sorry, sir.
What?
I said sorry, sir.
All right, as long as it doesn't happen again. All right, well... Why are we here again? Oh, yeah. I should probably tell them about the theme this week. And Ben came up with the theme because I couldn't. And he concocted.
Ben coughed it out.
Yes, he did. He hacked it up like a hairball. And the theme is not so fast. Not so fast. So our first story today comes courtesy of the HudsonReporter.com, which is out of the beautiful state of New Jersey. And I found this story on via Google News, and it made me chuckle. Because it is literally not so fast. There was apparently in New Jersey there was like this parking lot where they had a bunch of new cars. And some thieves made away with 7 Range Rover Sports. But the funny thing is, all of the vehicles that they stole were locked in what's known as transport mode. So basically, they couldn't drive any faster than about 25 miles an hour. So they made quite a low-speed getaway for stealing something, like the article says, about $420,000 worth of property they made off with. I wouldn't believe that 7 Range Rovers are worth that much, but what do you think, Eric? Is that a fair estimate, or are they missing something?
Well, that would put them each at $60,000.
Yeah, that might be a little high for a boosted
sport.
Yeah, because I mean, don't they sticker for like $80,000, $85,000?
No, that's the Range Rover. This is the Range Rover Sport.
Oh, okay.
The fake Range Rover.
Gotcha.
Range
so Rover. They're probably worth like $35,000 if they're boosted.
Maybe they're including like property damage.
Yeah. Well, they did cut the lock to the gate. So, yeah, this one made me chuckle because let's see, the article says a security guard told police he checked the lot at 5 a.m. and found nothing out of the ordinary. So somewhere between 5 and 9, when the camera stopped working, the crooks made off with the cars.
Well, this is.
But you know what? I can guarantee you that dealer is under investigation right now.
You think? Why is that, Michelle? You know about dealerships and selling cars. Are they always like the first suspect when something like this goes down?
Well, absolutely, because I mean, it's happened a lot in the last year where dealers have actually stolen, you know, they've arranged allegedly to have their own inventory stolen, and they black market them because they've gotten in over their heads and they've floor planned and they've not paid the OEM yet, and they owe the financiers who lent them the money to supposedly pay for the OEM for the cars. And some of these guys will get so desperate, they'll actually arrange for this stuff to happen. I mean, unheard of. I'm not saying this guy did it, but it happens.
They're in Hoboken. Okay, so right. It's not like, think about where Hoboken is. Not real hard to find some particular people.
And, let's say enterprising youths, shall we say.
I was just saying, you've got the Ruskies, the Italianos, and a few of the Far Eastern groups that are all in that area who have connected people, kind of.
Well, let's just say there's a lot of organized crime.
Well, I was trying to say that without saying that, you know. I didn't want to stereotype.
I like Hoboken because it has hobo in the name.
Plus, there's that, what was that old man that lit all his cars on fire? He was a dealership last year. And then he had a heart attack.
That was just his cover-up right there, having a heart attack.
Wasn't it? You can't catch me if I'm dead.
Sucker. So I was wondering, how did the crooks start the cars? Did they have the keys? Because even like my Focus has it's called PATS, like passive anti-theft system or something. You have to have a coded special key to start the car. So how did they make off with the vehicles?
scan.
Always comes back.
Is there
to
a way to do it or without the key?
That's why it gets back to being an inside job. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is, a lot of these high-end dealerships have these. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but the key vaults where you go into the. They have like this back room, and they have each salesperson has a code that they have to put into this vault,
mm-hmm.
and these drawers slide open, and they're backlit. They're kind of amazing, and the keys have those, you know, plastic tabs on them. So like these LED lights like light up, and you have to put in the code of the car that you're getting ready to take. And that key actually will unlock the car and make it work in its full mode for mm-hmm. a full on test drive. But otherwise the cars on dealer lots, like, I mean, we're talking from low end to high end now, use these things that keep the car from being driven off the lot in full on mode.
Mm. I'm sure there's something you can plug into the OBD2 port that'll scan through stuff, and I don't know. If you're super professional.
I worked part-time during college. I worked at a BMW dealer, and this was obviously several years ago, and they had some pretty amazing stuff.
This was 20 years ago.
Yep, I know, about 30
before
years ago.
BMW was a car maker.
Yeah, they were making airplanes or engines and stuff. But anyway, they have these little things that the service riders would have at their desk. They just slip the key in. It brings up the VIN number, like the license plate of the car they could put in, like the mileage, the service history, all from the key. It's all stored right on there, so it's pretty interesting.
It's actually pretty scary.
Yeah.
But I used to work at Jim Frizzard, and we used to sneak the keys out of the lockbox and go joyriding them at night.
Oh, boy.
Jeez. Ben, did you mark that just in case Jeff doesn't want to incriminate himself? You can take that out.
No,
statute of limitations.
Yeah.
It was 14 years ago.
Holy crap.
I think Jim
Frizzard. They'll never find that hooker's body.
That's what Kwame thought.
Oh my God. Well, anyway, to wrap up this story before we drag it out any longer, could you guys just imagine like 7 Range Rovers driving down the street at like 15 miles an hour, trying to get away from the cops?
I thought it was a bunch of journalists all driving the street.
Sounds like an episode of Reno 911 or whatever that show is.
Yeah.
Or an OJ getaway.
Yeah.
So anyway, our next story fits our theme quite nicely. If you think the Volkswagen 1-liter concept gets good fuel economy, if you don't remember, that's a car that VW showed. I believe it was at Frankfurt. It's a super lightweight 2-seat vehicle. And I think it's stickered at, 170 miles per gallon, something like that. If you think that gets good mileage, not so fast. Right, Michelle?
That is so true. I mean, try
1 million miles.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Let's do the 4.7 million miles per gallon. I'm not a math person.
If in doubt, round.
Exactly.
Shut up. Not 4.7 million. That's impossible.
It is possible because apparently in the trend that's been happening with the scientists for the last several years, where they're doing more research into bees than they are into healthcare, or roaches for that matter, a bee gets 4.7 million miles per gallon.
That's not a number to sneeze at, Michelle.
Or have anaphylactic shock if you're allergic to them.
Well, that kind of mileage will really take the sting out of your wallet, won't it?
Oh, we got a comedian here, Ben.
Looking for my rim shot.
Rim job, what?
It's
Scott Monty has that for you.
The article.
Sorry, that's an inside joke between me and Michelle. So.
So what is the gist of this story, Michelle? What did they do?
I don't want any part of rim shots and Scott Monty in any anything that I'm talking about. I'm sorry.
Are you getting Michelle's dander up, Eric?
No, I'm
easily roused. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm bringing the firefighting foam to your fire. Okay.
There it is.
There we go.
There we go. So, all right, Michelle, the story. What's the story with the story?
Well, apparently it goes back to 1957.
Holy
when God. Actually, I think, you know, some cars actually probably got better gas mileage, right?
Well, it's because they didn't weigh 3 tons.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the VW doesn't weigh 3 tons. It's very lightweight. It weighs 837 pounds, this concept car.
People weigh more than that.
Kilos.
Exactly.
No. Americans weigh more than that.
Right. Haven't you watched America's Biggest Loser?
Well, I've seen other shows. It's always great when they call the fire department to cut a guy out of his house, you know. That's television right there.
Sorry, ugh. Michelle.
Yeah, it's bad television. It's so scary. Well, so they came up with a way in 1957 to calculate B miles per gallon.
Miles per gallon of honey, though.
The weird thing about this NPR article that we were talking about, they actually talk about the fact that they would give the bee a gallon of honey and then tether it to a pole.
Well,
they didn't give it a gallon.
No, it wasn't a full gallon. They calculated how much honey the bee could eat and then tethered it to the pole, and it flew around in circles for...
That's right, but they tied a bee to the pole. Can you tie a bee to a pole for me, Zach? I know you're badass and all with your guns, but can you tie a bee to a pole for me?
You never actually put a honeybee on a string?
The trick is to use hot glue. You don't actually tie it, but they don't measure that.
What's sad about this? I do know about this because I worked on a corn video in the days when I worked in the entertainment industry.
I thought you were a dancer, Michelle.
Yeah, I was. I was an exotic dancer on a corn video. And they you know how they have like the people that do, you know, they're the animal wranglers. They're the cat wrangler, the dog wrangler, the elephant wrangler. They actually had a guy on set that was a fly wrangler. And there's this one corn video, and I don't remember what song it was, but there's flies flying around in his face, and they were all on these little filaments, and the guy was hot gluing the glue and the filament to these flies that he would keep cool, so they were docile, and then they would, you know, take them out of the box glued and then let them fly around in the video. It's imminent death. I'm not PETA or anything, believe me. I step on bees.
But you rescue chickens and cats and stuff. So according to their calculations, bees can travel 4,704,280 miles on a gallon of honey.
But if you look at it,
yeah,
they get one sip of honey and they can fly continuously for 8 kilometers. And I think from there, they came up with that 4 million gallons,
mm-hmm.
miles per gallon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how they did it.
That's math.
There's a guy in the comments who is laying out the difference between a Jetta at 45 miles per gallon and how much it can carry over a distance versus the bee mm-hmm. and how much it can carry over the distance. And it's a pretty substantial difference. I think the guy says that he computes that the Jetta achieves 9,900 person pounds miles per gallon.
Whoa. What does that even
mean?
That's
interesting because your ability to – I mean, it's like the hummingbird. People always make big deals about hummingbirds too and how fast they move. But how much can a hummingbird carry?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I would think a bee could carry quite a lot. I mean, like ants can carry what, like 20 or like half their body weight or something or more, isn't it? I mean,
but they don't have to fly.
Well.
No, the difference is that they actually have the resistance of having their feet on the ground, and ants do, right? I mean, they have resistance. That's like
strength training.
P90X.
Physics. It's physics.
Or those little pills that are shaped like Bart Simpson. Anyway,
you mean your chewable vitamins?
Yes.
We're Flintstone kids.
10 million strong.
And growing.
Craig loves the new gummy vitamins.
They make me feel good inside. Like I'm loved.
But not the pineapple ones. Those are gross.
They're awful. They make me piss blood.
Wait, did I say that online?
Speaking of tying something up, is that where you're going with it?
No, speaking
of tying a bee to a pole.
Hey, Zach, not so fast there. You don't want to spill our next story, do you?
Are we moving on here? Is that what's going on?
Hint, segue.
Warning, segue alert. Warning, segue alert.
Ding, ding, ding.
So evidently, Kim Kardashian has her own NASCAR now.
Will she own the team, or is she just sponsoring a team?
I assume she's sponsoring a team.
I
didn't know, like, an individual person could just be like, you know, have enough money to be like, yeah, I want that car to be mine, like, entirety. It kind of reminds me of the end car from Talladega Nights, where it's just Team Me. He's got a big cougar on the hood. Now it's Kim Kardashian's face on the hood.
Why not her ass?
I know.
She says, I can't believe I have my own NASCAR racing car. No one has seen this yet, so this is your exclusive look at my car.
Whoa. Michelle, can we get this read by you, please?
Hi, guys. I have to tell you about this amazing sweepstakes. I'm a slow reader. Sweepstakes. Sephora. Can we hyperlink that? And I are doing. One grand prize winner and a guest will be flown out to Las Vegas to meet me at my fragrance event. Hyperlink that. At Sephora at the Venetian and attend my launch after party at Tao. Tao is one of my favorite clubs in Venice, and you guys will love it.
That's Vegas.
No, Venice is
a city in Italy.
Well, it's also part of
Venetian.
The Venetian.
Venetian. Yeah, Vegas. Whatever.
Did you just get $22,000 to tweet that too?
That's because that's what she got.
Yeah, I mean, this is like all a Sephora. And here's the sad thing. This is a Sephora NASCAR thing that they kind of like engaged her in. And because they're so desperate for people to come to the races. Because have you been to a NASCAR race lately? The stands are empty.
That's exactly what this reeks of, is desperation. Like up one side and down the other.
And bad perfume.
In three tiny paragraphs, she plugged, like, what, three different properties? Like, there's the Venetian, there's the club within the Venetian, there's her fragrance and the NASCAR teams. There's four total.
Wow.
Pretty sad.
So do you guys like this Kim Kardashian character? She sounds like quite a rabble-rouser.
Well, she's deadly hot, but she's one of those people that's just famous for being famous, you know? Like, she hasn't really done anything, per se.
She was originally known in Hollywood for being a stylist to all the young hip kids or whatever. And then, yeah, she just sort of... And then she was found on the interwebs in a movie.
In a movie? What sort of movie? Like, documentary? Or?
Oh, yes, it was a very animation. Documentary. Very point-of-view documentary.
Very craftily described, Eric. I like that.
I met her stepdad last Friday.
No.
Bruce?
Yep.
Daytona!
Well, tell the story.
Gold Olympian Bruce Jenner was at media day for NASCAR's Daytona 500.
The Bob Double O!
So when? Any idea when we'll see?
Oh, that guy had 1,000 too many surgeries.
It's so scary, and I swear, like, Jeff and I actually kind of had a little conversation about this earlier in the week on the Facebooks, because he told me that Bruce Jenner was there, and, you know, apparently Bruce Jenner also has these children of his own besides his stepchildren, and I went to an event recently for Ford, and on the
Is everything that starts with an F going to be pronounced?
No, everything's exactly. A plug.
Oh. Everything's a plug. That's my hyperlink signal.
I love my Hyundai Genesis.
Have you guys seen Roundabout Show?
Yeah, so on the guest list when I got there, there were three Jenners besides Bruce. I mean, there was Brody and, like, I don't know, I guess there's a whole bunch of these guys that are Bruce Jenner's kids. So, like, the whole family and the step family is taking advantage of, like, just showing up at the opening of envelopes. Go NASCAR.
Yeah. Go NASCAR.
NASCAR.
Oh. Well, okay. So, if you guys think Kim Kardashian is attractive, you haven't seen anything yet. In fact, not so fast. Right, Eric?
Exactly. Dateline, Tampa, Florida.
Tampa.
So, how do you fight falling business in a bad economy?
You got to change up strategy.
You got to do good promotion. And what's better promotion than a box van with all glass walls and a stripper pole and three strippers in it driving down the road in Tampa, Florida?
Free
depends
samples.
On what they're advertising.
Works for Costco.
Jeff is furiously taking notes right now for his bachelor party.
But he's getting
Find
married again?
The big box truck.
Jeff, you're getting married again?
Yep, wife number three of the week.
That's right, he's been divorced four times.
Well, what happened to his first three wives?
And Zach has four babies.
I do.
Already?
So
I guess if they wanted to, I have two thoughts on this. A, isn't it a little hard to have a champagne room in an all-glass box van? And B, I think they're about an hour too far west. I think there's a certain high-profile athlete in Orlando, Florida, who's rather fond of strippers.
Well, A, Tampa is the world's capital strip joint.
Is it?
Yeah. They have all sorts more than, of good stuff there.
More than Daytona?
Yeah.
More than the Bronco Lounge?
The Bronco Lounge is lame. That's for Ford employees to get laid off.
Laid off? Yes, pun intended.
No. If you don't have to pay for anything in a strip bar, then it's pretty cheap. But in Tampa, yeah, they have – this, I'm sure the street they're driving on with this box truck was like, I think it's Fletcher.
Well, it looks like the main drag through town.
Yeah, but like, there's like six strip joints right on the side. One of them is called Odyssey 2001.
After the Arthur C. Clarke novel?
Yeah. Sure. It's got a spaceship built on top of it. It's really neat.
Where's my bell?
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
And this was for Deja Vu, which is a national chain of...
Yes. And B, for your comments, Eric, Tiger Woods is now in Ponte Vedra today.
Where's that?
It's near me.
Oh.
He had... That's where he did it.
That's where he's been hiding on his boat?
No, he was hiding in Knoxville or something like that.
What?
His sex camp.
I thought that was in Mississippi.
I don't know. Was it?
Some backwoods bird.
So, Jeff, I think we're going to have to send you out into the field to check this out. Can you make the drive to Tampa for roundabout?
Sure, I'll just...
Oh, we should interview the driver.
Yeah. I'll just hop in the... I'm going to hop
Good
in
idea.
The... And a crash tour!
Michelle, do you think this is objectifying women?
Or box trucks?
No, you know, here what they have are actually these big party buses where they have stripper poles and the strippers are in there. And I mean, I've seen them when I've driven to Vegas. You pass them and, you know, they're kind of driving a bit slow because they take their time because they've got paying customers.
Maxing out those credit cards.
And recent, not very long ago, a few months ago, it was a Saturday coming up and I thought that Jeff Glucker from Hooniverse was going to be at Cars and Coffee. Like, he'd put on his Facebook that he was going to be at Cars and Coffee. And a couple of hours after Cars and Coffee was supposed to be taking place, I saw Jeff posting these pictures of these – he was on this party bus with strippers and, you know, dancer poles. And I was like – what the I texted him and I'm like, what the heck is going on with Cars and Coffee this week? Little did I know he'd actually, you know, gotten into a bachelor party trip. But that was the first I kind of really knew about those things. And now I see them all the time. They just travel the roads and they have passengers on them, unlike this one, which is just for
just viewing. For show, right?
Right.
But really not for show because they leave their clothes on. So it's too bad.
I guess probably the better option for
that way
everyone
it's not illegal, but
to be on the ones where they, you know, you're actually on there because then they take off their clothes, I guess.
Yeah. I like the one picture where that there's an SUV tailgating the stripper truck.
I wonder if they have a problem getting rear-ended.
Oh, that sound effect, Ben.
But you know what it reminds me of? Have you ever driven on the freeway behind somebody
who has like the dual
kids' little LED screens where the kids can watch movies, and you find yourself watching the movie while you're driving behind them?
Oh, it's Finding Nemo.
Right.
And then you sideswipe them and knock them into a ditch and kill their whole family.
Kill their children. Yes.
and take their strippers.
Yeah. In a perfect world.
Do you have a thing for strippers, Zach?
No, killing children.
Oh.
Jeff does, though. But he's never telling where he buried them.
They're not in his crawl space. Oh, wait.
I'm in Florida. We don't have crawl spaces.
No? What do you have?
It's foundations.
It's just a slab of concrete.
Oh.
Their water table's like a foot below ground.
Oh. Yeah, that's why we don't have basements.
Okay.
Yeah, you go in a basement during a hurricane, you drown.
Well, this is news to me, Michelle. I'm sorry. I'm not as well traveled as you.
Lost a lot of pioneers that way.
But on that note, guys, with killing children, I think we can take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we'll get to our blind spot story of the week. We'll talk about...
We're not going
to
talk about... Oh, never mind. Never
glad
mind.
Somebody else did this that week. Or this. Oh, fuck it.
We'll jump... Did you just say Hot Pocket?
Yes.
Can I get you a Hot Pocket?
And diarrhea for 2 days?
Pocket. This is America.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll go to our blind spot when we get back. Talking about a new theme park that may be opening for Jeeps. And then we'll go in the garage. But before we get to those topics, I just wanted to talk for a moment. And Ben, maybe you can help me with this since your throat is bleeding. We are on Stitcher, which is a service that you can get on your mobile telephone, and that allows you to tune in to live programming, such as Roundabout Show, or other stuff. Like Leo is on there, Leo Laporte, right, Ben?
I'm sure he is. I haven't checked, but I'll
assume
he
heard him talking about that on Twitter, one of his other many
programs. He's ubiquitous.
Programs.
Not necessarily live programming, but podcasts.
Yeah.
Not necessarily live programming. As a point of fact,
so how does it work, Ben? What do the people have to do to get us to get Roundabout on Stitcher?
We've got a nice convenient link at our website on the right hand side.
Roundaboutshow.com.
That's right. You click on the Stitcher link.
I like this game.
I know. It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It'll take you to our roundabout-specific landing page and just put your phone number into the box or your email
address.
And
we won't sell your number to any unwanted advertiser, so don't worry.
That's right.
We might give it to Mud Monster, though.
Ooh.
Well, he's lonely. It's a public service. It'll send a link to your phone and all the instructions for downloading the application to your BlackBerry or iPhone or Palm Pre or whatever other wonderful phone you have, Android phone.
Windows phone 7 Series.
We'll be right there. And you'll be able to hear Roundabout on the go. So I don't want to hear any more excuses about, oh, I'd love your show, but I just don't have time.
I can't do multivariable calculus in my head, so I can't figure out how to use iTunes. That's not an excuse anymore.
That's
right. Get right on your phone. So with that, I think it's now time for our blind spot story of the week.
But before that, breaking news.
What? Go ahead.
Denny Crane to star in a CBS sitcom based on the Twitter sensation "Shit My Dad Says." Do you follow?
How about some context?
There is a Twitter account, literally called "Shit My Dad Says," and it's supposedly this guy's dad and just all this random things his dad
all
says.
All his racist comments he makes.
It's one of the other than the Darth Vader account. It's probably one of the funniest Twitter accounts. And so apparently CBS is going to make a whole series based off it, and William Shatner will be the star of it.
They are officially out of ideas.
Right? Actually, I think it's brilliant.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, we'll see.
Brilliant!
CBS!
Giant.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Somebody had to come up with something for William Shatner to do, right?
Instead of Priceline commercials?
Yeah.
But he's the negotiator.
Priceline negotiator!
I love Denny Crane. That was like the best role he's ever had in his life.
Ben, play the Blind Spot music.
There it is.
Quickly.
Oh, I'm supposed to read. Whoops. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week's story is all about good, clean fun, playing in the dirt. Isn't that right, Jeff?
That is correct.
Well,
and not only
spill
that.
Spill the beans.
What?
Spill the beans. What we got here? What's going on?
It's not only a good, clean way to have fun. It's also what to do with a poor, abandoned Jeep factory in Toledo, Ohio, where local officials are hopefully making an off-road park out of what used to be an iconic factory.
And what factory would that be?
It built the original Jeep that helped save the war.
Save the war. Well, where
win
is
the
it?
War. Win the war.
Win the war.
It's in Toledo. Toledo, Ohio. Wow. At the Toledo manufacturing plant.
Hmm. Are they tearing the plant down, or is there nothing left there, or what?
I'm sure it's already been torn down.
They still have the
ground. The ground's been contaminated for the next 300 years, so they figured, you know.
Two of the smokestacks were torn down a couple years ago. I know that. And there's one smokestack remaining, which is iconic to the city, and it will probably be kept up, which it should be.
Yes.
But it looks like they're just making a huge off-roading park for people to come and bring all their Jeeps to. It sounds like a pretty cool idea. Good way to.
Will they allow international scouts there?
That's exactly what I was
just going to ask if Zach would attend such a facility if it were available.
I would absolutely come and embarrass some Wranglers with the truck. Why not?
Me and Zach will carpool up there.
Damn straight.
Will the international make it that far? Ohio is up quite a ways.
Do not tempt me to drive this thing to your door. I will do it.
I would love to see that, Zach.
Give me an excuse. I could make it happen.
I'll buy you a box of Krispy Kremes.
You'll not need to bring the tractor out to plow the fields come spring. Zach will just tear it up in his scout for you.
All right. Well, with new tires, right?
Yeah, no, it's the Triumph that has new tires.
Well, the Scout's got newish BFG all-terrains, so.
So do you think this is going to work? Jeff, do you think this will work out better than GM World and Flint?
Well, at least, I mean, Chrysler's still sticking around in Toledo. Like, they haven't, they actually moved the Liberty there a couple years ago when production of something else ended. So they still build the Wrangler and the Liberty in Toledo. So it's not like they've completely abandoned the city. So, I mean, it kind of works out too, the whole Jeep mecca.
I'm pretty excited. I want to see this happen, but I'm pretty skeptical. Like, there's a lot of hurdles that they have to go through. Like, there was supposed to be a really cool road course here in Oak Ridge. They were going to call it the Thousand Suns Road Course.
Nuclear fallout?
Yeah, it was going to be on the old Y-12 site here in Oak Ridge. And that never came to fruition, which really sucked. Just because it's really hard to get, like, the people who live around there. Like, an off-road course seems a little more feasible because, you know, Jeeps aren't.
1,000 points of light.
Okay, Reagan.
No, that was
Bush. Bush. Bush won, sorry.
Jesus. At least you were close.
You know, off-roaders aren't as noisy as like a full-on racetrack, so you never know. Maybe.
Yeah, it's a 70-acre site that's now owned by what used to be Chrysler. It's now called Old Carco.
That's the bankrupt half.
Yes.
Chunk.
So, I mean, it doesn't sound like there's that many hurdles. It just sounds like it's getting it rolling by somebody's behalf.
Right.
And by the way, this story was brought to you by ToledoBlade.com.
Well, you know, Ferrari has Ferrari World in Dubai, so I guess, you know.
I mean, this would make perfect sense. There's 70 acres just sitting there right off of I-75 and 475.
Yep.
And the closest thing they have is the Rubicon, which they have Camp Jeep at, I guess. So it should be fun. I'm a huge Jeep fan, so I'm pushing for it.
We can tell, Jeff. Your love for the Comanche knows no bounds. So, let's hope. you know, for all car enthusiasts that they can actually work out a deal, you know, Ohio and Old Car Co. Hopefully they will be able to turn that site into a nice off-road course for people. So we'll have to wait and see if that goes through. But with that, I think it's time we should take a peek in the garage and talk about what we've been driving this past week. All right, Jeffrey, you were in a car this week. You mentioned it
sure
a little earlier.
Sure was. Tell
us about it.
The new Honda Accord Cross Tour.
Oh!
All
right. Get a little sad trombone. Sad trombone.
Yep. Okay, Jeff, you guys, I have to say, I was just showing someone pictures of that car yesterday.
Yeah.
And I realize that there's this need to get cars smaller and, you know, all of that stuff. But I had a Civic Wagon. And, I mean, just in terms of how things have grown and grown and grown, and they've reinterpreted certain models into different, you know, versions. So there's, like, the sedan version, and then there's the hatchback, and there's the wagon version. I have to say, after all the crud this thing has taken, I don't know that I'm not a fan. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but I can't say I am so opposed to it.
Well, if it was a real wagon and not sort of some,
yeah, like when they first showed off the spy shots and it looked like the Accord Euro wagon, like that was sexy as hell. And then they brought out this thing.
And Michelle, did you pop the back of that to actually look at the interior of the back end of that? Of the Cross Tour?
It's just like the X6, a vehicle that should have never been made, you know?
Well, no, it's just like when I saw it at the auto show, where the wheel wells are in the rear, it's like the space in between the wheel wells is about 18 inches wide because it comes in so far. I mean, okay, maybe a little more than that, but not much.
Well, I mean, I don't know where Honda went wrong on this because the Accord sedan looks good.
Where'd they go right? Better question to ask. Yeah.
No, but listen, the ZDX by Acura, I think, is a great looking car.
What?
Are you high?
For some reason, I like that. I mean, it's angular and kind of mean looking.
Jeff, but I'm a Honda fan, the Acura specifically, and I hate that car.
I don't know what is about it.
Is it the 12-inch opening for the back door that you can't actually get in the back seat?
You're a 12-inch opening.
Oh, I got that. I got 12 inches. All right. So styling notwithstanding, guys, this is a controversial issue. What do you like about the Cross Tour? What don't you like? What stands out to you, Jeff?
Well, I've always been a huge fan of hatchbacks.
Uh-huh.
So I do like the versatility inside. And it's got this cool plastic, like, cargo tote in the back that's built in.
Mm-hmm.
Just little neat things like that. So I think I got the top-of-the-line model. It's got navigation and leather and all that. But it's got a nice cabin. It's definitely not a good-looking
car. It's just the Accord interior, basically.
So, yeah. So is the driver's side 4-star and you'd rather have it be 5-star for crash impact?
He didn't crash it yet.
No, I'm sorry. There's a very inside joke there that I was waiting for a reaction from somebody from.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, because there's...
Michelle, did you crash a Honda Accord Cross Tour?
No.
It's just a comment that you made. Or maybe it was Ben last week about something that John said about the difference between a 4 and 5 rating the annoying sound, right? I mean, it can be the difference, and so we really have to talk about that rating, like, and not take it as you know.
Yeah, a 4-star car is not a death trap by any means.
Right.
Well, this isn't a 4-star car. It's
no, I'm
safe.
Just saying
1-star.
It's not it's not the Jinglian Landwind where it just crumples up like.
Or what was, there was another car that is famous because they tried.
The Brilliance?
The Brilliance. Yeah,
where
just Euro NCAP, it failed. It didn't even get 1-star. It just failed.
No, sorry, you lose. Try again.
Yeah.
So, all right, well,
when you have 1.3 billion people in your country, you might actually encourage that thing just to thin the herd a little bit.
Natural selection.
Exactly.
So, Jeff, what driving the Accord cross tour, what'd you think?
It feels like an Accord. I mean, it's nothing special. It doesn't feel heavier or any different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was expectation. Customer expectation. I mean, really.
Another.
That's what they're, you know, they're not looking for high performance.
it's another appliance from Honda.
Yeah, it's a beautiful road-going toaster. Well, no, not beautiful. I take that back. It's a microwave you can drive.
And just to get things clear, I never said I like this thing in terms of its looks.
This thing.
I said I like the ZDX. For some reason, people think those are the same car nowadays, and I say I like one, and like, oh, how can you like the Cross Tour?
We're putting words in your mouth. So anyway.
Other things.
How did I know, Zach?
I know. I couldn't help it.
He has a one-track mind right in the
gutter. I sat here so quiet waiting for Craig to just sally forth, and he didn't.
All right. So have any of you guys driven the C-Class, Mercedes-Benz C-Class lately?
No.
No?
I did like 3 years ago.
Well, somebody asked me a question about it because I drove the C300 4MATIC for a couple of
days. How was it?
It was pretty cool. You know, I wrote a review on the E-Class, the E550. Not that impressed by that car. It just didn't do it for me. But the C-Class, even the basic, the low-end, small 3-liter engine, I liked that car quite a bit. I mean, it was reasonably sporty. I mean, granted, it's winter time here in Michigan, so you can't go out and just tear up the corners or anything. But I thought it was a fun to drive little car. Surprisingly, the 3-liter six, I think it's good for somewhere like 228 horsepower. I think it puts out. It's a very good sounding engine when you get on it. Good power considering it's a kind of a low output, you know. But I really like the car overall. And the whole thing feels like it's carved from granite. I don't know what it is, if that's just how all Mercedes are, or maybe you guys know what I'm talking about. But it just felt like the whole thing was just absolutely rock solid. You know, there was no vibration or shimmying in the structure when you hit bumps or anything. It was just right there.
The German engineering.
Yeah, jawohl.
It's still doing.
Ah!
By your command.
Stop using your voice box, Michelle. Meow.
Okay, I'm back.
All right.
It still looks like the C-Class that, yes, I graduated from high school in 1986. What year were you, Craig?
I was two.
So I got a Ford Tempo for my graduation present that was red. And my roommate in college got a C-Class Mercedes.
What a bitch.
Yeah. That was red. And she used to get so upset because people would walk in the parking lot to go to lunch with her during our senior year and think that my car was her car.
Who can confuse it?
That's sad.
Because,
Tempo,
you know, okay,
with a Mercedes.
17-year-old girls, that car still looks the same to me, and I'm 42. I mean, that's an updated Tempo, you know? It doesn't look any better to me.
Actually, I think the last restyling of the C-Class was pretty sharp with that.
The CL and the CLS.
No, I mean, even the basic C, I thought
you
was...
You can get two different grills. Like.
Yeah, it looked. They tried to make it look a little more like the S-Class.
Yeah. But. So anyway, yeah. C-Class, liked it a lot. Rock solid. Fun to drive.
Sticker price?
Didn't have a Monroney with this one, but I would assume it's 40, mid-40s.
So you borrowed, air quotes?
No, it was handed to me, but sans window
Vinny?
Sticker.
Was his name Vinny?
I pulled it out of a Hoboken, New Jersey parking
okay.
lot. That's where I got it from.
Okay.
But
got it for a song, too, but yeah. It only does 25 miles an hour. It's the strangest thing.
No, off the back of a truck. Of course, that's better than running into a train, but, yeah. You know, that's a different story.
So, Zach, you, too, also drove a car this week, surprisingly, given your...
You, too, also,
you too,
in addition.
You actually did not take your bicycle,
Ben?
Zach.
I know. Who'd have thought? But, I guess last week I had the GMC Acadia, which is GMC's new big crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, not impressed.
No, really.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what happened. I was last week. It was frigid down here, at least frigid by our standards. Lots of wind and snow and ice.
60s or so.
I'm not Jeff. Okay, I know you get us confused. But
hey, it got down to 30s here.
It was mid 20s. I would say it was good and chilly. And I'm trying to hustle a bunch of stuff into the back of the thing and have the remote start, so start it up and it's nice and warm by the time I get there, and like all the snow's melted off of it, and I've got the automatic lift gates, the lift gate opens up and the back seats fold down, I mean, easier than just about any other vehicle I've ever played with. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, this is great, because, you know, load in all the wheels and tires for the Spitfire to go get mounted, this is fantastic. Drive it a little bit, and there are some things that I don't particularly like. I mean, the interior is pitch black. I mean, it's dark on darker is the only way I could possibly describe it.
Darth Vader.
Yeah, it feels like you're an Imperial Raider is how that feels. The gauges, you know, they're that same red sort of cheapy GM feel. Lots of cheap plastic in there. And it really surprised me because, I mean, the car is the sibling to the Chevy Traverse, and I love the Traverse. I mean, the Traverse, I think, is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous inside. The styling is a little bit different outside, but they've got similar proportions. But what really got me was the sticker on mine was $47,000, $740. To give you an idea, you could walk right over to the Chevrolet dealer and put down $41,000 for a base Suburban. With more power,
well, Suburban, Zach, it's not professional grade.
I don't care. The Suburban still gets 21 miles to the gallon, has more power. You can actually tow with it. It's rear-wheel drive.
So for $47,000, you probably could have bought a Corvette.
Damn straight. I mean, I could not possibly figure how in the hell they got $47,000 as a reasonable price. Now, granted, mine started at 40, and then, you know, they've got the technology package, which added the heads-up display, and for whatever reason, you have audio controls in the cargo area. I can't quite figure that out.
Tailgating.
Then for another $2,000,
tailgating.
You have...
Tailgating!
Would you like to know more about tailgating? Click here.
But for another $2,000, you have navigation. Another $1,500, you have XM stereo. Another $1,400, you've got a rear skylight. $650 heated.
So needless suffice to say,
wait. Is this GMC or is this Porsche you're talking about?
Exactly. I mean, by the time you're done, you still have a big crossover that just doesn't look that great inside. And
looks kind of slow. If you catch my drift.
Right. I would much rather have either the Traverse or the Suburban if you were going that route. I mean, if you absolutely had to haul a million children and their crap, either would be a better choice in my opinion. Yeah.
So not a big fan of the Acadia.
Zach, no. I drove that exact year before last. I got sent to SEMA and with a similar package, and there were just two of us going to Vegas. You know, which is not a fun ride, as I've explained to Jeff. It's, you know, a lot of traffic between here and Vegas, and I just kept looking in the rearview mirror at the rest of this car behind me, thinking, okay, if I had a family, is this a really? I mean, it had the headphones and the little individual displays and the, you know, all of that stuff going on in the tail. And there was no reason for me to justify that car. That was actually the last press car I drove because I walked away from it going like, what is wrong with this, world? It's pretty, I guess. If you were a real estate agent and you had a client maybe with a couple of kids and you were going to drive
them
down,
you know, what about the Equinox? You know, the Equinox is a perfect...
Absolutely.
Third row seats. Oh, lacking.
Since you had the Traverse, I haven't had this one. I had the Traverse, and we took it to Indiana for Christmas and wanted to drop the dog off at the kennel while we were gone. I just folded down the third row seats, and I swear, with the third row seats folded down and the second row seats up, there was as much room back there as in our Escape with the norm with the back seats folded down. I mean, that's how big that is back there. It was enormous.
It's huge.
And I have an English and for those, I mean, I don't know if you've listened to the show more than twice, you don't know. I have an English Mastiff. It's not exactly a pocket dog. Yeah, it's not exactly a pocket dog.
Yeah.
And when she has
Chihuahua.
Plenty of room back there with the middle seats up, I mean, that's big.
Yeah. Sorry, you guys don't sound like a big fan of the Acadia. So,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, at $47,000, yeah, I agree. That's a when you lard it up with every available option.
It's a lot.
Plus rust proofing, yeah, it gets a bit much. But I think we can cut the In the Garage segment off right there and move on to our next segment.
Highway hearsay, tales from the open road.
Highway Hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things people do. Right, Eric?
Yeah, that's right, Craig.
Thank you. Haven't heard that enough this show. We've got a doubleheader today. I have one and Michelle has one. Mine is very quick, so we'll get it over with first. I was very confused by this. So I was coming into work the other morning this week. I think it might have been Tuesday. And I'm driving along on what is it's called University Road, and it connects to I-75. And this car pulls out behind me with no frickin' headlights on. And it was like 5:30 in the morning, so it's pitch black out. And this guy is driving behind me. I could see his turn signal flashing. No frickin' headlights. I was so confused. And then the guy gets on southbound I-75 with no headlights.
And there's actually no lights on I-75 at 75 in University.
No, and it's dark out. So how was the guy just a moron and thought like his electroluminescent gauges were and his lights were on?
He took the name of his car a little too literally.
The Saturn View?
Yes.
Oh, Eric, you are on a roll.
He is on a roll. He's on fire.
So guys, do you guys have any explanation for this? Were his headlights burned out, or did he have some electrical problem and he had to get to work, and that's why he was doing this, or was he just retarded?
I'm going to vote column B there.
He's drunk coming home from the bar?
Is this the first time you've run into somebody who didn't have their headlights on, Craig?
It was dark out.
Yeah.
Driving on the expressway.
Yeah. There are idiots out there. Lots of them. Beware.
It happens down here all the time. Like, what gets me the most is, like, it could be early in the morning, raining at the same time, and invariably you see someone without their damn headlights on. You're like, just, you know, I know you can see. Oh, that's fine. You can see. I can't see you, you know? And when I pull out in front of you and you hit me, you're going to be the one jumping down my throat, calling me a moron. And it's not that way. I'm sorry.
Yep.
But well, wait, do you guys ever get in your neighborhoods that thing where people are like, don't flash your headlights at people with their headlights off because
they can shoot you.
They'll shoot you. It's
we don't
a
live
gang
in gangland, Michelle.
But a I think it's an urban. It's an urban myth. It's an urban myth.
That's why you drive an armor-plated Z3, right? That's why the doors creak.
That's why, yeah, you can't open the door from the outside.
You still haven't fixed that? Well, I suppose.
Oh, God. So that was my highway hearsay, running across an idiot one morning. I'm still very confused by that. But, Michelle, you have a highway hearsay as well about another GM vehicle.
Yes, sir. Did you want me to tell this story, sir?
Please do. I'm sorry. I'm trying to hustle things along here. Eric has to take off.
So dirty.
Eric has to go. So I was sent anonymously these pictures, which it's kind of funny. My followers, whatever, will occasionally send me some pretty funny stuff. And apparently there was a GM issue with a guy that took a Malibu fresh off the line and crashed in, you know, it was supposedly going to be put on a train because, you know, the Malibu it's a global vehicle, right? It's their global platform. It goes to
Epsilon, I think.
The Middle East. It goes all over this country. And I don't know, where else does it go?
To the far flung
Tennessee.
Straight to the
Tennessee. It goes internationally. Anyway, so they were supposedly taking, you know, this Malibu to put it on the train. And there was this accident where the guy didn't quite judge things right, apparently, and hit the train and sort of smashed in this.
So the
this
guy, what, he hit a train.
Right.
A parked train, right?
Right. Was
he
a
drinking? Or
well,
doing
no,
heroin off a hooker's stomach at lunchtime? I mean,
I do know this. It was the beginning of the shift, and it was the evening shift. So it was kind of dusk time. And the tipster base that had sent me this told me that the guy had – the car was sitting there. It had actually gone through the entire line, was ready to go. And he took the car because he said he was – you know, does anybody want something from the Quick Trip Mart? Which apparently is the local, like, Circle K, 7-Eleven, whatever. And he's apparently a manic texter. Oh. And which you can imagine your car is being made and these
I would
guys
rather
like,
just say I was drinking than texting.
I know. I've got a
problem. Send me to rehab.
I was on the corner today and there was one of those electrician trucks for the city working in a cherry picker, and like the safety backup guy to the guy in the cherry picker actually wandered away while the guy was working on the lines because he was texting, and he went into a forecourt of a gas station and was texting and just was paying no attention to the guy in the cherry picker. So I can imagine this happens in all sorts of industries all over the country. So
I think as humans, we're de-evolving with all this technology. We're just getting retarded.
I agree. I agree.
You know.
We're not allowed to say retarded.
No?
No.
Sarah Palin will get mad at us.
Oh, will she? Sarah Palin. Golly.
Oh, jeez. If only we'd get mad views if that happened. Keep saying it, Greg. You just drive that shit home.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Joe the plumber.
All I have to say is bring it, tea baggers. So anyway, this guy was driving the car to the Quick Trip Mart, which was, you know, apparently supposed to be going to a dealership before it got sent to a customer, of course. And he was texting. He didn't have a seatbelt on. He was going 35 miles per hour. There's a railway crossing behind the plant. And there was, you know, low light because it was dusk, but there were flashing red.
Well, did he have
signals.
His headlights on, Michelle?
I don't know.
They have
know
daytime
that.
Running lamps.
Yeah. Yeah. If the car was on, he did. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he wasn't looking up. The police report says that he dropped the manifest in the floor and was trying to fish it out of the floorboard. But in reality, the guy wasn't paying attention, I think. That's the rumor. And he slammed into a flatbed trailer, which apparently this rail line normally has boxcars that they pull into the factory to load the cars.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a flatbed, so, you know, I guess horizon difficulties, whatever. And he ran the Malibu into this paused train, which fortunately was paused at the moment.
Wow.
But the train, almost immediately, as soon as he hit it, just happened to start backing up, threw him off the tracks and out from underneath the train. Apparently, the guy from the account that I might have heard or might not have heard was completely calm. And, you know, kind of called into work and said, like, oh, I'm going to be a few minutes late. I, you know, ran into a train, which they took to mean he was coming back to work and there was a train in the way. And so he was stuck at a crossing.
Oh, he meant it literally.
Like he literally ran into a train. Yeah.
Wow. Well, but, tell me, know, he I didn't keep his say. Job, did he, Michelle?
Well, no, he did. And
he I did.
Mean, he did. And there's a police report filed and everything seemed to go great. And I have to tell you that of the accounts that I've heard, the airbags did deploy, although on one of the postings online where the pictures are, people have asked where the airbags are. I don't know. Those are it happened just before Christmas, so I'm not sure if they like removed the airbags or I don't know. But the glass did not crack. The rear doors are fine. I mean, it's actually not – I mean, if you think about a Malibu crashing at 35 miles per hour head on into something standing still, it looks pretty good. The guy walked away. with a rash from the airbags. I was surprised.
That whole story just reads like a poster of what you're not supposed to do behind the wheel. Don't steal your employer's car.
And
check.
Then text message.
Crash
into a train and then
Fuck
lie to the police.
That's right.
You know what the biggest lesson I learned from this that's so funny is I originally got the pictures and I sent an email to all of you guys. I'm like, okay, oh my God, highway hearsay. And I'm like, Ben, Craig, Zach, Jeff, Eric, boom. And I send it off and I get this email back and it's from Jeff going, oh my God, can I post this? And I went, well, it's sort of my story. I'm going to post it first. Can you wait a few minutes?
Well, not our Jeff. That was Jeff Glucker.
Right. And so, mind you, I don't notice this. And so I'm like, can you wait? And I keep having this conversation with him. And then I get an IM. And I'm like, I use Adium. And so it kind of mixes all of my IM stuff together. And I'm like, okay, I get an IM from Jeff going, please let me post it. Can I at least give you a hat tip? And I'm like, wait, I'm just posting it right now. And I'm thinking like, that's so rude of Jeff. Like, we're this team. And
please tell me you gave him the there's no I in team speech before you.
You really thought this was me?
Yeah, I was really shocked, Jeff. I was really shocked. And I went and I looked at Skype and I'm like, well, he's not on there. I guess he's IMing me through Facebook. Like, I wasn't really looking because I was, focusing on my post. And I hit publish and I go to Adium and I look and I'm like, oh my God, it's Jeff Glucker from Hooniverse. I totally leaked my scoop because my email autofilled.
Oh my goodness.
Should never
that
leak
damn
your
damn technology.
Scoop.
It's the worst.
I know. Jeff, I'm so sorry. I was sitting there thinking,
you must have said some cross words about me.
I did. No, that's what's so funny. I was sitting there going like, no, I'll send you the transcripts. Because I was like, no, I want you to. That'd be awesome. But can I do this first?
Wow. Well, you be careful next time, Michelle.
Yeah, the CC list, be careful of that.
It's true.
Got any cheese?
All
right, well, thanks, Michelle, for that. That was a really good story. We're going to move on to our next segment, but I got to mention Eric had to step out right now. He had some other business to tend to tonight. So we'll hopefully see him next week. But you guys want to play a game?
Do we ever.
Well, let's get started.
Internet's most exciting podcast game.
The fantastic prizes. The fabulous
10-minute-ish
prize is
correct. Insert contestant name here.
Come on down.
All righty, Jeff. This segment is your baby. What have you got for us this week?
Following this rare case of deja vu, on this week's episode of The Price is Correct, the theme is rare cars.
And It's a focus.
I aim to test your automotive knowledge, my fellow panelists, by quizzing you on some rare vehicles that I found on Craigslist.
Okay, and we have to guess the price of each of these vehicles that are being sold, right?
That is correct.
All right. So what's our first one then?
Up first, a 2004 Ford Focus SVT with 35,000 miles on it.
Ooh, that is low mileage. What condition is the car in?
It looks like very grand condition.
Grand. Well.
And just to let you know, it's had TSB 42119 performed.
What?
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, that sounds like it's the DSI clip that they replace.
It comes with a red stapler.
What? It's a swing line. Yeah. Looks like it's got, does it have the European appearance package?
I don't know. It's got premium care extended transferable warranty.
Because you're going to need it.
And it's got a dash mounted radar detector, which is illegal in Florida, by the way.
Is it really?
Yep.
I thought it was only Virginia and D.C. that had the illegal radar detectors.
Anyways, anyone have any guesses? It's my favorite color, though, I got to say, Jeff. So good eye on that. The Sonic Blue.
Hey,
premium choice.
I'm looking out for you, man.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
So what do you say?
35,000 miles, 04 Focus SVT ZX3, three-door model. I am going to guess, gosh, with that low a mileage, I want to say around 10 grand, but I'm going to go a little higher than that. What state is it for sale in, too?
Appleton, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. All right. That doesn't help me much, but...
It's only been driven two winters.
Well, I am going to guess that this car is stickering for... $12,995. Final answer.
Michelle?
Joey?
Oy, you know, I mean, it's they're cute. But having seen that WRX for sale that my daughter wanted that was the same year that was like $6,000 and had very similar mileage, I'm going to have to say like $8,000.
Zachary?
What year was it again? 04?
2004.
2004. I'm
same year as
10.
The wrecked one you could have bought. But
I'm
going to
say 10. I'm going
to
go 10.
And the actual retail price is $11,990. So you win, Zach.
Ba-bam! That's what I'm talking about.
Jeffrey, tell him Slasher what he's slash she's just won.
Slasher has won. Happiness for the night.
All right.
Actually, no. You do get a prize, my friend. It was the next vehicle up on the list.
Hey. I was going to say the pride of beating Craig at Focus Knowledge, but that's fine.
This next vehicle, I'm sure you will love, especially after that video you posted on your Twitter account, Zach. This is a... I don't even know what year. 87, 88, or 89 GM Corallo. It's,
what the fuck is that?
There are only 100 ever built.
You want to spell that for me so I can Google that?
Carralo. It's based off the third generation Camaro and Firebird. It's got a lot of extra body kits on it. I don't even know why they built it. It's not like a concept car or anything, but it's a rare car, and it fits my theme.
Oh, that video. I had no idea which video you were talking about. You're talking about the one where the tire explodes and destroys that.
Is this like a Mexican car or something?
No, this is a built by GM.
The Corallo. Carallo.
It started as a Camaro, right? Or a Firebird?
Technically, it's a Camaro Firebird. It's F-body. But it's branded General Motors. It's not a Chevy or a Pontiac. I did a little research on the car.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
So what's that shit worth, Zach?
No whammy, no whammy. Oh, wait. Wrong game show.
Man, I don't know. Guys are crazy for their freaking Camaros. I'm going to say... I'm going to say 11. That's what I'm going to say.
All right. 11 it is. Michelle?
100 each year.
Dollars?
No, 100 are made each year? Seriously?
That's what it says.
Gosh, I'm going to... Yeah. No, I'm going to be bent. I'm going to say $7,000.
I wouldn't pay $5 for it.
Hey, that's history, buddy.
Yeah.
That's history right there.
Yep. I don't care.
$5?
$1.
$1.
And Michelle wins because the actual retail price is $7,500.
Hey, winner!
One!
This is actually the cheapest. I did some research, and most of them were selling for about $15,000.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
This was like half price, and it's in Jacksonville. I should go look at it.
You should. Ask for a test drive. You should do a roundabout review.
Amazing. You've just won a 1999 Chrysler Sebring LXI convertible with a combination cassette player and AM/FM radio. Time to party like it's almost the year 2000.
Time to hang
I'm
yourself.
Confused. But okay. What's right. next,
oh my
Jeffrey?
God. You guys, I came up with a joke yesterday by myself. And nobody's gotten it yet. How does Control-Alt-Delete equal a Sebring? I'm going to put it on chat, and nobody gets my joke.
Control-Alt-Delete.
Since I just won.
Windows something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm putting it on chat right now.
Well, the answer or?
Yeah, the answer's on chat.
All right.
Because I hate the Sebring. So.
Oh.
Everybody hates the Sebring.
I'm confused, Michelle, but okay.
The first letter of every car.
I get the acronyms. So.
It's Control.
What was the Chrysler Delta, though?
Sad Trombone.
The Delta was...
It was Pontiac. Rolls-Royce.
Hey, Michelle.
Yeah.
Where did you go to grad school?
Arizona State.
No. Well, that didn't work. Never mind.
What were you shooting for there, Craig?
I didn't know she went to grad school.
Aztec Sebring.
So, Michelle, now I'll ask you again, and you'll respond. I didn't go to grad school, okay?
Oh, sorry.
So, Michelle, where did you go to grad school?
Really? I have to say I didn't go to grad school, really.
You didn't? Well, how did you get a master's degree in not making any sense? Where's my drum roll, Ben?
I prefer said trombone. Can we make that happen?
That was stupid.
Thank you.
Ben didn't fall for it either. So,
ding, ding,
all
ding.
Right. our final vehicle on the list. I'm cutting Ben's car off the list.
Oh, why?
All right.
I can't next guess because I know the answers, but still.
Next up is a 2009 Pontiac G8 GXP in Pearland near Houston.
What year?
2009, the only year they ever made them. It's very rare.
Is this for Jeff or Ben or Michelle?
Anybody.
All right. Well, Michelle, you're the winner.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Ding, ding, ding.
You know what's really funny is when I drove the GXP that I
smashed.
Wrecked,
you destroyed.
I destroyed into smithereens.
No.
I never got a manifest. I didn't get a manifest with it. So I have no concept. But it's actually probably oddly holding its value because it's rare. So whatever the original cost would have been in the showroom, let's just go with that one.
Can't do that.
I just did.
What was the original sticker price?
I don't know.
No cheating.
I didn't do that best.
Ding, ding, ding.
You can take a guess.
Seriously, I have no idea.
You gotta make a guess. Just pick a number.
$3.
Oh, okay.
Grocery store coupons.
I'm gonna say $35,000.
Okay.
You harpy. I mean, Zach, what's your guess?
I'm gonna say $27,000.
All right, Ben, you gonna take a crack at it?
Ben not can't. Fair.
All right, I'm gonna say $30,000. Then I'll split the difference. What's the actual retail price, Jeff?
Well, Captain Guess-a-Lot wins with her guess of
$35,000. God damn. Wow. That's a ridiculous amount of money.
Shell is on fire.
$35,995 is what they're asking for it. And according to Autotropolis, the GXP listed at $37,610.
Wow.
There you go.
That's a lot of scratch.
That show is, but it's a lot of beef, too.
Oh, yeah.
Greg likes his beef.
It's a whole slab of brisket right there.
Should I go with the fourth one, Ben, or is that enough?
I think we've had enough. We're running low on time. So.
Blood sugar. Craig's blood sugar.
This is Jeffrey Ross reminding you to control the skank population. Remember to have your cougars spayed or neutered. Good night.
Wow.
Wow, I just knocked Eric's mic off the table. That was good, Ben.
There.
Have your pet spayed or neutered or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So, okay, we're coming to the end of the show here, guys. So, like last week, we're going to try to do a tip of the week. And, Michelle, I believe you had ours, episode 23. It was about, some new car buying tips, as I recall.
Yes, so this one's on you, Craig.
This one is on all of us. I'm hoping for some participation here. But there it is. Thank you. So tip of the week. My tip of the week is don't put higher octane fuel in your car than it's specified by the manufacturer, because it's not really going to do you any good. If your engine is not high compression to take advantage of the higher octane, you're just throwing your money away. Right, Zach?
That's absolutely true. And would you like to know why?
Take a crack at it, please.
All right. Well, each grade of fuel is rated based on its resistance to knock. And
very
that
good.
Means whether or not it will pre-combust before the cylinder has gone through its entire compression cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So it will pre-ignite before the spark plug ignites.
Which
and when
bad.
That happens, which is bad. And you can actually hear that if your engine sounds like it's making a slight knocking noise, not like a prominent like rod knock, but on hard acceleration usually.
Mm-hmm.
You'll sort of hear that, and that would be a good indication that you need to step it on up to another grade octane.
Yeah, typically in the summertime in hotter climates, you might get a little knock.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a little less air in the engine because the air is hotter and thus less dense.
And I would say
Yes, Michelle?
I'm going to ask you guys, so okay, I've done this thing where I was putting like the highest grade, and now I'm putting the medium grade.
Mm-hmm.
So do I need to do anything like any? Because my dad's always like, "Oh, you should put those additives in the tank."
Right. What's your car call for?
What's the?
I don't know. I have a Z3. The little manual says to put the highest.
Well, there you go.
Well,
California, you guys can only get 91 octane, right? In Cali. 91 octane?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we can get 93 here, but yours is all, like, environmental oxygenated or
right.
something. But do what the manufacturer recommends.
Yeah, if the car calls for premium, you should probably be using premium.
Yes. Because the opposite is not true.
That's
not want to run a lower octane fuel if higher octane is specified.
And if you're uncertain, it's always better to hedge your bets and go to the higher grade than go to the lower, obviously.
Exactly.
Unless you're driving a press car and you don't want to spend the extra money.
Jeff, people are listening.
I had, God, what did I have? I had some car that was a turbo, or maybe it was just...
Oh, no.
I forget what it was, but like every time you jumped on the accelerator, it was blatantly obvious that somebody before me had put in like 83
diesel.
I was like, God damn it! And it just sucked because driving the car, and there's nothing I could do about it, you know. Because it's
run
like,
the tank out and then start again. But you know
what I ended up doing was burning half a tank and then filling it up with 93, and then just that sort of cuts your difference. So it's a little bit better.
Because usually, if you run the wrong gas too, if your car calls for premium and you're running a lower grade, your power output will be less too, so you won't get the full amount of performance.
And your fuel economy will go down as well.
Yep. Like the Focus, I got to put premium in that. I've got 10.5-to-1 compression, which is pretty steep. Anything forced induction, turbocharged, supercharged is almost a guarantee you're going to have to run premium for that higher octane. And as I understand it, and maybe Zach, you can corroborate this, higher octane fuels actually burn slower than lower octane fuels. From what I understand.
Well, that would make sense. I mean, the reason that it's a higher octane is because it has chemical chains in it that are resistant to...
Igniting under pressure, right?
Right, which is exactly the whole thing. So I would assume that's correct. I've never heard that, but I would guess that's true.
Well, maybe some engineers will tune in and correct us if we're mistaken. So yeah, moral of the story, if you hear any sort of rattling or pinging sounds in your car, you might want to step up to a slightly higher octane to prevent damaging your engine. Now, if you hear something
back.
Hammering on the side of the block, that could be an entirely different situation.
Good science from Hooniverse says that higher octane equals less combustible from an engineer.
Hmm. Well, there you go. That's terrific. So yeah, but you know, interesting point though. Some newer model cars, some Fords come to mind, like the new Mustang that's coming out with the 5-liter V8 resurrected, and also Ford's EcoBoost engines. Those can run on any grade of gas, and the computer can adjust spark timing based on the octane of fuel you're running in it. So the computer knows, it can tell what grade of fuel you've got in there, and it can adjust the engine accordingly so you don't have to worry about anything. So if you wanted to cheap out and just put 87 in, basic stuff, that's fine. But if you want to step up to higher octane, it will adjust accordingly. And like the Mustang, I think it's a difference of like 10 or 12 horsepower on the 5-liter V8.
So that's, I mean, significant. That's
not insignificant, no. But right. If you've got 400, that extra 12 probably doesn't really matter. You're not going to be hurting for power. So tip of the week, don't be putting any higher octane fuel in your car than is absolutely required, because you're just throwing your money away. Thank you for that, Ben.
Your Robin is done.
My Robin?
Sorry. A little stuffed up. Your Robin.
Oh.
Your cup of noodles.
Okay.
Robin.
Robin. Robin is done.
So, all right, and with our tip of the week, I think that pretty much concludes roundabout episode number 24. So, Michelle at MissMotormouth.com, thank you for joining us, as always.
Thank you.
And thank you for your highway hearsay. That was pretty funny.
Facebook me.
Yes, you can find Michelle on Facebook and Twitter.
Facebook me.
Or she apparently prefers her Facebook account. So.
No. Twitter, please.
Twitter, okay. All right.
No. My Facebook is, you know, I put pictures up of the dogs and the cats. And
okay. And Zachary Bowman.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir, for joining us again.
Glad to be here.
Where can people track you down on the worldwide cyber web?
You can find my stuff on blog.webridestv.com, exhaustnote.com. You can check me out on Twitter at @Z_Bowman. And breaking news.
Autoblog?
No. Hopefully sometime soon I'll be posting some stuff on Hooniverse. So hey. Check that out.
Woo!
Definitely. Woo-woo!
We need to have Jeff Glucker on soon.
We should. Jeff's an awesome guy. Or Tim.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Tim's a pretty good guy too. So.
I'm an IRL friend of Jeff's.
Is that friends with benefits or something? What's that mean?
No, it means in real life.
Oh.
Which is why I wasn't kind of so shocked when I was accidentally emailing him and it turned out to be him, because I, you know, he did the right thing in the end. So
okay.
He's a great guy.
Well, lastly, Jeffrey Ross, our...
That's me.
That's me. Our master of The Price is Correct. Thanks again
Thank you.
New to Twitter.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Yes, yes, yes.
Where can people find you on Twitter?
Let me double check.
Jeffrey
N. Ross.
Yes, Jeffrey N. Ross.
Cool. It's R-E-Y, not yes. E-R.
Jeffrey?
Yeah. I don't know why I have such a problem with that. I apologize.
All right. So Twitter, Jeffrey N. Ross on Twitter. And then also, where can people find your work? Your fine handicraft? The answer is autotropolis.com.
Jeff?
Jeff?
He sat on it again.
Is he having a stroke?
Yes, I sat on it again.
Well, quit routing the wire under your scrotum or whatever you're doing.
Autotropolis.com is where you can find me.
Autotropolis.com.
Autotropolis. It's hard to say. Easy to find. Autotropolis.
It's not hard to say. Autotropolis.com.
Well, it's hard to spell. Try, what's your email? Oh, jross at Autotropolis. Auto what?
Automotive tropolized.
Tropolis, like Superman? Oh, Tropolis.
Oh.
Trust me. In the last 3 years, I've had to explain Autotropolis a million times.
Wow.
But if you ever need a new car, go to Autotropolis.
Cool.
We'll take care of you.
All right.
And of course, we can't forget Eric.
Yes.
He had to leave for a worthy cause. Yes. But you can find his work at rumblestrip.net.
Rumblestrip.net.
Click on me.
Meow.
Wow, this is our new meme here, isn't it? I'm not complaining. It's hilarious. But
and it hurts every time.
All right. Well, Find the rest of our crap at roundaboutshow.com. I'm begging you, please go to the site. We've got all kinds of great content there, and we're always trying to add more, always working on stuff. And if you get a chance, go to the site, again, roundaboutshow.com. We've got, if you look on the sidebar of the homepage, we've got a link to a podcast, no, pardon me, PodTrack podcast survey. That's a mouthful. But it's a quick questionnaire. What has it been? Maybe 10 questions? Something like that?
Yeah, really I actually quick, took the longer to version, so I don't know. It won't let me. It's very scientific, okay. So it won't let my IP address access it again.
Okay,
so,
but take but it, I'm we ask you, please, so, if yes. you haven't already, take that quick survey. It lets potential advertisers know who, what, where, when, why people listen to us and if
how.
Anybody listens. Yes, thank you. So take that, please.
Journalism school.
What's that, Michelle?
I said journalism school.
Okay.
Who, what, when, where, and how.
Who, how, when, and there.
Inverted pyramid.
Yes. Also, if you're on the site, swing by the Roundabout Emporium. You can buy T-shirts, hats, mugs, coffee mugs, and beer steins, whatever. All kinds of good stuff and new lower prices. We've never rolled back prices this far before, so check
We're
that out.
We're crazy, Craig.
Crazy like a fox, Ben.
How can we do it?
Well, we sell it at a loss.
That's sad but true.
And also we've got a new phone number. It's a Google Voice number, right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
I was legitimately asking you that.
Yes, yes. Which means you won't have to talk to one of us on the other end, so don't be afraid to call.
Yep. And that's the number is 1-559-ROAB, R-O-A-B, 411. Again, that's 59. No.
Here we go.
That's 559-ROAB 411. Again, 559-ROAB 411. Call us, leave us a message or something. Is that what you had in mind, Ben?
Sure.
You're a slow reader.
I'm a very slow reader. All right. You can also find us on Facebook.com/Roundabout Show, our brand new custom URL. Check that out.
Facebook me.
You can Facebook us on Facebook.com/Roundabout Show. Twitter.com/Roundabout Show as well. Lots of great stuff going on there. And you can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace. And drumroll, we are on Stitcher as well. Thank you, Ben, for getting us out there on Stitcher. So you can, you know, listen to us on your mobile phone or whatever other mobile device you happen to have. But with that, I'd like to thank all of you out there listening, and please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
Waiting for Maverick to...
Take two.
Beep. Waiting for Maverick to buzz the tower in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Jeffrey Ross.
On four fresh tires from Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
From Cisco Hamburgers in Long Beach, California, I'm a slow reader.
I did not put
Ron
that there.
Burgundy.
And recovering from the black plague. I'm producer Ben Sanders.
It's like that other week when you were talking about lube chat.
Lube chat.
Well, if you look at the rundown, Ben, you'll see it says I hearsay.
I'm busy fixing Jeff's links. Sorry, Jeff. I outed you.
Man, this place.
Hold on. I got to dig it out. It's under a bunch of windows.
I got to dig it out.
Dig it out.
I'll be right back.
Dig it out of his nose, Michelle.
Please pick me. Pew, pew.
Shooting her lasers again.